I'm telling you, we had a time down there. Them, they, because that's all my kinfolk down there. They didn't have no idea how to take him. I promise you that. 2 Timothy chapter 1 tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 1 to read. We'll go just over to chapter 2 for the text tonight. Something a little different tonight. I'm going to try to give you a positive message about a negative subject. How about that? Alright, how about that? So what is that going to be? Well, you'll find out here in a minute. Alright, find that 2 Timothy chapter 1. Look with me, please, if you will. Stand right up for the reading of the Word of the Lord. It's good to see you tonight on this Thursday evening. We just got some holes there. If y'all would like to go find somebody, fill them chairs in, that'd be a real blessing. Bring them on in tomorrow night as we finish up. And then head to King's Ferry comes Sunday morning down with Brother LeGrecke and some of his folks down there. We're looking forward to what God might do down there. Then the week after that, I'm in Fredonia. And then the week after that, I'm in Caledonia, Ontario, on the Indian Reservation, preaching to them Seneca Indians up there, just south of Hamilton. And you pray about that. That little church ain't had a pastor for years and years and years. And a little old handful of people trying to hold that thing together. And I mean, a handful. I mean, you can get them all in your van that comes to that church. And they ain't got hardly nothing. They ain't got hardly no money. But of all the folks that used to go up there, we used to have a whale of a meeting up there, 5, 10, 15 of us going there and preaching. That place is packed. And then, wham. And of all of those that disappeared, they looked at me and they said, "You going to leave? You disappearing too?" I said, "No." I said, "If you'd like for me to come back," I said, "I'd be glad to do it." And I've been going back every year since. Amen. And that's why we're supported. You folks help support us. We thank God for that. Well, that's why we can go to them little old churches. They ain't got a dime of money. They ain't no way in the world. We foot
our own bill up there, okay?
This trip will be a pretty good chunk, okay? But we foot that bill because of the support that happens. And little bitty churches need revivals too. If we can, you know, they need old-fashioned, in-your-face, you leather preaching just like everybody else does. Amen. And so, a lot of times the big boys shun the little guys. I know. Don't get it. Okay, all right. To verse 1. All right, ready? Get out of that. Paul, verse 2, to Timothy. Third verse is in 2:16 tonight. But shun profane and vain babblings. For they will increase unto more ungodliness. Paul is raising up a man of God. He is training a man of God. He's instructing a child of the King. He is making a real Christian out of a born-again saint. Now, if you'll listen to what God just told you, you'll see something that you might not have thought about. He's making a real Christian out of a born-again saint. There's a difference between being saved and being a Christian. We're going to look at this tonight just for a little bit, all right? Father, thank you for that which you've accomplished in this meeting thus far. And as Paul warns Timothy about this subject, I pray that I and everybody here would also take warning. Heavenly Father, we are in a massive war here in Christianity. And we need guidance and direction and instruction and correction, my Father. We need convicted. We need changed. We need, Lord, after we repent, after we humble ourselves before you and repent, we need the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse away this unrighteousness. Heavenly Father, I am thoroughly and absolutely grateful to be eternally saved. But Father, I'm working on being judgmentally saved. For we will all stand at the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of ourselves. The lost will give account of themselves at the white throne. Heavenly Father, we will face the judgment of God Almighty for that which is not under the blood of Jesus when we get there. Would you help us tonight? Please, Lord, we got to have some help. And I pray for this in the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord. Amen, my Father. Amen. You may be seated, family. Now, my old grandma, she was about a 4 foot eight by about 4 foot eight woman, about that big. And she'd tell us cousins' kids, because all the parents would ship us, all those cousins' kids, back home to West Virginia for 2 weeks every year. And that way the parents got a break from us children. And we'd spend 1 week with my dad's side and 1 week with my mom's side. But my mom's side, she was a talker. She never would whip none of us. We'd rather had the whipping. She'd set us down with two chairs, knee to knee, eyeball to eyeball, and explain truth to us. Granddaddy was a big man, and Granddaddy was at a whole row of willow trees in the yard. He said, "Boys, just get one that'll do the job and meet me behind the cellar house." And Granddaddy would make you dance. He'd dance all over them hills over there in West Virginia when Granddaddy took a switch to you.
Amen.
You said, "Preacher, what are you saying?" I'm saying Grandma would talk to you. And every once in a while, she'd look you right there in the eye, Brother Fenton, and she said, "Now, boy, you lying to me. I can see it in your eyes, you lying to me. And your mouth's going to get your whole body in trouble one of these days." And sure enough, it's an amazing fact how the mouth is hooked to the behind of a kid. Amen. Now, I realize the day we're living in, all right, especially in y'all state, my goodness, you can't even call your kid's name up here and they'll put you away. But gang, it didn't used to be that way. There used to be some respect for authority because it was put in them at a young age. Amen. And so, Paul's trying to tell young Timothy right here that you got to watch what you're doing. You got to watch what you're saying. And you got to also watch, look at verse again, 16, shun profane. Now that word shun, that's the only place you'll find it in the whole book right there. And the other word is shunning, and the only place you'll find it is in Acts chapter 20, where Paul said that he hadn't shunned to preach the whole counsel of God to them men. But it said profane. Now that word profane is a wild word. It means irreverent to anything sacred. That's what the dictionary said. It talks about contempt for the things of God. And Paul was trying to tell Timothy, he said, you need to shun profane. You need to shun the irreverence of that which is sacred. You need to shun that contempt for the things of God Almighty. You need to shun that. Get away from that. You said, "Preacher, we live in a world that's full of that. Then deal with it." Listen, you can't just sit there and let them take the Lord's name in vain. You need to say something about it. You hear me? You just preach it won't do no good. How do you know? How do you know it won't do no good? And you say, "Preacher, I ain't big enough to defend myself." You don't have to defend Christianity. You live Christianity. You don't have to defend that which is right. You simply live that which is right. And the Holy Ghost will take that which is right and that which you're doing, and He'll work on them. You can't work on nobody with nothing to say. The Holy Ghost of God, my family, needs something to work on around where you're living. And Paul's trying to help this young man right here to get away from that which is wicked and vile and ungodly. Now listen again. "But shun profane and vain babblings." Empty, useless, worthless babbling. Now, our world has helped us get guilty in this sin. Some of you need to watch what you're doing on that Facebook trash. Some of you need to wake up to the fact that you've got two or three clicks from the perverts. You have no idea whose friend you're talking to, who has a friend, who has a friend that's an enemy of God Almighty. So what do you say? I'm trying to get you to understand something. God Almighty told Timothy through Paul, you need to shun that profane and vain babbling, that irreverent and worthless talking. You need to get away from it. You need to get rid of it as quickly as you possibly can. So many people, my dear family, need their thumbs cut off. But they do this. All right? God Almighty said to us, did He not? He said, if your eye offended you, do what? Come on now. I know. I know it's an absolute pet and you ain't going to do a single thing about it properly, but I'm just telling you the truth. You need to get rid of that wicked, vile stuff that is against your Lord, that's against your Savior, that's against your church, that's against your man of God, against your brothers and sisters. Listen to me. You need to stand up for each other, not agree with the enemy of God. Amen. The lost are the enemy of God. Are you listening to me, gang? The enemy of God, my dear family, has a vast media that he's working with and working on. And there's a whole lot of God's people, like I told you last night, that watch the Bible instead of reading God's Bible. And you need to do something about that. If your favorite TV show is CNN, you're in sin. And you need to get away from it. And say, why? What did God say to do? It will increase unto more ungodliness. Come on, love. We ain't godly enough now. We ain't holy enough now. Come on. We have compromised and backed up and backed off and modernized and liberalized to the place now where the average somebody driving up down the road don't recognize us as Christians. There's a church, but do they know we're Christians? Do they know we're God's people? Oh, we're simply just like them, but we dress up to go to this building. Come on, stay with me. I'm not against you tonight. I'm for you all the way. I'm trying to preach a warning message. Shun profane and vain babblings. They will increase into more ungodliness. Go to Proverbs chapter 1. I'm not going to preach nothing you don't already know. You can get up here and preach it just as good as I can, because this is so familiar. Proverbs 1, verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. How many times lately have you and I been enticed by sinners to shun God, get away from God, move away from God? You've got to be careful. Some of those who you love the most will get you out of church. Amen. They show up Sunday night at 5:30. They know you go to church. You say, well, I had to stay home. My Aunt Tilly come, and hadn't seen Aunt Tilly in 30 years. And she came. Listen to me, gang. Why didn't you bring Aunt Tilly to church with you? Amen. Said, well, she wouldn't have come. Then you leave her at home. Say, I'll be back by 7:30. Amen. Well, she was only coming through for 45 minutes to an hour. Aunt Tilly, was sure good to see you, hon. Now, I haven't had any problem with you for the last 30 years because I ain't seen you. And I'm going on to church now because I love Jesus. I wish you'd come with me. Got a great preacher tonight. Oh, Brother Finn, he'll put it on you. It's good. But see, we don't do that. What we do is we let them entice us. And we tell God, well, you understand God. And then we come to the man of God, the next service. Come on, stay with me now. On Wednesday night, I said, Brother, I'm sorry I didn't make it Sunday night, but Aunt Tilly come. I ain't seen her in 30 years. And you understand, don't you? And Brother Finn's kind and courteous and, you know, a great man. He just said, yeah, I understand completely. No problem. And it ain't no problem between him and you. But the problem is not between him and you. The problem is between you and God. Because you let sinners entice you. Well, let me ask you something, you that stayed home with Aunt Tilly. All right? I'm pretending now. What'd you talk about the whole time she was there? Jesus? How wonderful church is? How great your preacher is? How wonderful your brothers and sisters are? What did you talk to Aunt Tilly about the hour you skipped church? And you notice something, my dear family, just about 7 o'clock, she said, you know, well, I better start heading home. You know, I don't drive too good after dark, so I got to go. Just enough time to get you out. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us work privily for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up alive as a grave and whole as those that go down into the pit.
We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Casting out all among us, let us all have one purse. My son, look at the command. Walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from them. Why should I do that, Lord? Because it will only increase in the more ungodliness. Stay away from them. You say, preacher, what do you do? Listen, you don't be ugly or mean to them. You simply be kind and courteous, but you stand for God Almighty and you don't let them take you away from the Lord. Amen. Look at 28 to 33. Same chapter. Then shall he call upon me. Now we're talking about simple ones, and we're talking about those who have not come to God. Verse 24. We're talking about those who don't want God, those who are irreverent to God, those who don't want nothing to do with God's stuff. Verse 28, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. They that hated, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. What are you saying? I'm saying, my dear family, that crowd, because of their unbelief, God Almighty's Bible says they're condemned already. And you and I are not supposed to associate, listen to me now, with the condemned already. We're to witness to the condemned already. Amen. We're not saying hate them. We're not saying cuss at them. We're not saying fuss at them. We're not saying throw rocks at them. But you can't buddy-buddy with the lost. They hate your God. They hate your Savior. Yeah, but preacher, they're my kinfolk. They that do the will of God is my mother and my brethren. Your mother wants to talk to you. This is my family. So Jesus did. This is my family. What are you saying? I'm just saying, my dear family, you got to get your priority right. Preacher, are you telling me to discard my family? No. In fact, if you live for God and do right, you'll love your family more than you do now. You want them to show up more if you love them. You're supposed to. You want them to show up more after you get yourself right with God than you do even tonight. Because you make up your mind. The most important thing in my Aunt Tilly's life is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know that Aunt Tilly even knows God. Aunt Tilly, I'm glad you're here, but we're going to church. So you come on. Since you won't come, then you stay there another minute or two and say, listen, this is what the Lord Jesus Christ did for me. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ said to me. This is what I read about in the Bible. And this is how I live, Aunt Tilly. And I want you to live that way too. By the way, Aunt Tilly, I'm on my way to heaven through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross and rose again to save me. That's why I'm going to church and leaving you here, Grandma. That's why I'm going to church and leaving you here, Grandpa. That's why I'm going to church and leaving you here, brother. That's why I'm going to church and leaving you here, Aunt Tilly. Because I love my Jesus, I want you to love Him too. Now come on, Aunt Tilly, come on with me. But because we let them entice us, when we get around them, we don't talk about Jesus because of the back of our head, they know they're supposed to be in church. They're going to be in church. I know that. We don't talk about God because we done messed up. How can you talk about Jesus when you shun Jesus? How can you talk about God when you've shunned God? How can you talk about how great church is and you didn't come? You can't. So you talk about your cousins. Come on. Come on, Aunt Tilly's there. She doesn't come at 5:30. You was just getting ready to leave for church, and she don't go, and you don't come here, and you talk to Aunt Tilly about how her kids are doing. How's my cousin John? How's old Tessia doing? And then at 7 o'clock, Aunt Tilly leaves, and there you are stuck. Hey, Timothy? Yeah, Paul, what do you want? He said, I want you to shun that profane and in vain babblings, because they will increase in the more ungodliness. Look at Proverbs chapter 6.
Look at the Word of God. My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Did you ever make a deal with somebody? And listen, in our day and age, you got to have, 50 pieces of paper all notarized and stamped and all that. There was a day when we'd handshake each other. We said, I'll be there. And we'd be there, no matter what. We'd do what we had to do. We had to go do it. But I'm telling you, we're living a day now where it don't matter what we say. It don't matter how we talk. It don't matter if we promise. We have no intentions of keeping it, no how. I'll give you one for an example. Can I do that, please? Sunday morning, all right? Brothers preached a great message. Everybody's going out. And you say, boy, that was a good message. Lord willing, I'll see you tonight, Pastor. You know what you're saying? I ain't coming.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Come on, think.
Amen.
Lord willing, you'll be back at church tonight, saved, blood-bought, born again, heaven-bound child. Lord willing, you'll be back. Well, if I, don't get the car wreck and I don't get sick and the race is early enough and the ball game's done Timothy, yeah? Shun them vain and that profane language and that vain, empty, worthless babblings that's going on. Timothy, did you get saved? Yes, I did. Timothy, when you got saved by the grace of God, were you grateful that Jesus would wash away your sins in His blood? Yeah, I was. Timothy, do you think there would be any other life you'd like to live besides the one that I'm trying to teach you about? No, sir. No, sir. I want to be faithful to my God who loved me and saved me. But yet, my dear family, every once in a while, we'll make a statement. I'll be there. Now, I don't want you to get mad at me tonight. Next to the last night of our great time together. Don't get mad at me. All right? I'll give you Monday through Friday. All right? I'm going to be generous. Because I am kind. I'll give you Monday through Friday. But I will not give you Sunday night. You ain't done nothing all day Sunday. And you can't get to church 15 minutes early.
Amen.
Amen. I know. So, preacher, what are you saying? Are you a member of this great church? Preacher, why are you hammering us tonight? I'm not hammering you. I'm just telling you what Paul told Timothy. I am not the Holy Ghost. What are you saying? I'm saying you go home after the morning service, you eat a good dinner. You take a little nap. You set your alarm. Now don't wait till 5:30 to be so tired you can't sit. And I'm gonna take me just a 15-minute nap, honey, and I'll be there. What do you say? I'm saying, my dear family, listen. If you're not at work, and you're not deathly sick, there is no excuse for being late on Sunday night. When you joined this church, you didn't say it verbally, but you agreed to be here when the doors were opened.
Right.
You agreed. Listen to me now. When you said, I want to be a member of this church, Brother Fenton, can I be a member of this church? And he checked you all out, and he found out you were saved, and he found out you was okay, and he found out you could come in. And then the church said, what do you all think? And everybody said, amen. And we get this family in the church. And everybody said, amen. And they brought you in here and put your name on the roll. And what happened was, when they put your name on the roll, there was a loyalty clause there that you didn't see. I'll be there on time. I will support the church. I will be behind the church all the way. I will be here. I will do. I will go. I will work. I will be here. I want to be a part of this great work. And so this is what I am not verbally promising, but this is what I'm so-called promising because I'm joining this church. And that's what we said in our minds, but that ain't what's happening in our bodies. What are you saying? I'm saying we need to shun this profane and vain babbling. We need to be here.
We need to be here every time we can be here. Do you not understand, do you not know, my love, that Jesus is coming during church? Probably on Wednesday night. Amen. You know what I'm saying? Huh? I told somebody, a little girl back there looking, what? I told somebody here just a while ago, I said, listen, I said, they was talking about, they was having Sunday school in a little room. And I said, listen, where's the Sunday morning crowd on Wednesday night? Listen to the words. Listen to the words. You listening? Y'all listening? How many did you have? And they always tell you the Sunday morning crowd. Now, I'm not slamming a good brother. No, sir. I ain't slamming him. I'm just telling you point blank. All over the country. And me and Brother Fielder, we travel all over the country. It's the same story. How you doing? Doing pretty good. How much you have? 106? Praise the Lord! How about Sunday night? About 70. Well, that's pretty good. Hallelujah. What about Wednesday night? We're down in the 20s. What are they doing? Now, if they're at work or they're sick, that's different. Okay? But if they're home watching TV, when the people of God are gathered in, most important service in the world is that prayer time when we pray together and get a hold of God Almighty. We need God Almighty. He said, we said, well, I'm saying to your family, listen to me. We join the church to be loyal and faithful to the work of God out of this church. But if we're not, we're being enticed by something to be liars when we have stricken our hands. God says you're snared with the words of your mouth. Preacher, I don't like this. I know, my love. I know. Nobody likes to be guilty and caught at it. Did you ever see the baby with milk all the way up his face? Did you drink that milk? No. Chocolate cake all over his little belly. Was you in the cake, boy? Mm-mm. And sometimes us Christians, we who love God Almighty, we get a little lazy. Come on, stay with me. We get a little lazy. We get a little liberal, okay? And the liberal does liberal things. And sometimes we say one thing and live another. We, you know, like the Indians up in Canada, while I get up there, you know, you speak with the folk tongue, white man. You know what I'm talking about? And sometimes your family, we say one life and live another life. And the world says, hypocrite. The world just says phony. But we're not phony. Come on, stay with me. I'll try to help you now. We're not phony because we're saved. Stay with me now. Saved folks are not phony. They just act that way. We're children of the King. We're the blood-bought, born-again saints of God. Amen. We're not like the world's crowd that don't have to keep their word. We're of God's crowd that we're supposed to keep our word. Yeah. Let us not identify with that bunch out there. Let's identify with this bunch in here. Let's stay right in here loyal and faithful to our God and do what God Almighty says to do. Let us not be enticed away by the sinners of our life. Let us not get snared at our words and have the sinners say, he's a hypocrite. She's a liar. They say they love God, but they ain't been in church in 3 Sundays. They say they love God, but the only time they ever go to church is Sunday morning. Let's not let them accuse us of nothing. If they're going to accuse us, let's make sure they're lying about it. What do you think about that? Number 3, my love. Number 3, chapter 10. Chapter 10, Proverbs. Look at the Bible. Chapter 10, verse 11. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. It's a well.
Your mouth, my mouth, is a well of life. Not a well that's polluted and ungodly. No. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. Somebody ought to be able to come and talk to you and I and get a drink of good, clean, godly water of that word. Anytime you talk to us, they ought to hear something about God out of us. They ought to hear something about Jesus out of us. They ought to hear the Bible out of us. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that the mouth of that righteous man is a well of life. But violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. 13. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. But the rod is for the back of him that's void of understanding. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Verse 18, he that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that utter slander is a fool. What are you saying, preacher? How often, my dear family, has the profane and the vain come out of our mouth in our prejudiced state? Was it not James that said something about blessing God and cursing men? This is called guilty as charged. Come on. Oh, I love Jesus. But I hate them people. I hate folks that do that. And Jesus looks at me and he says, I didn't hate them when they did that. I don't hate them today and they're still doing that. Now, let's not justify ourselves by saying, well, we're just human and we can't help it.
Yeah, amen. Come on.
Because that don't work.
Amen.
Well, preacher, it's just my old nature. No, it ain't your old nature.
That's right.
See, it is. It's my old nature that does that. That's how I was raised. Listen, you quit being raised when you got saved.
Amen.
You became a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are... Oh, no. Just the good stuff's passed. Some of that stuff I'm carrying with me right now. Come on now. You say, preacher, it's my old nature. It just makes me think this way. And I just can't stand that crowd. And that's this bunch and this bunch and that bunch. Whoa, wait a minute. When God saved us, He put a new nature in us. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Why isn't that new nature overpowering the old one? Why is it that divine power? Peter talked about this power that helps us live a godly life. How come that new nature can't outdo that old nature now?
Amen.
Why is it, my family, that when we're in sin, we want to excuse ourselves to the old nature?
Come on.
I would it was eradicated, but it ain't. It's still in there. But there's something happened at salvation that you've got to get your hands on. It lost control of your situation. When you got saved by the grace of God, there's a Holy One inside of you and me now that is in control. The Holy One sits on the throne of my life now, not the old nature that used to be there. The old dawn is not boss, honey. The new dawn in God is boss now. And I yield myself to the new nature. I yield myself to the new God. I yield myself to somebody beyond me so that He can help me get done with this vain, profane babbling.
Yeah. Amen.
See, preacher, what are you doing? I'm trying to help us tonight to shut our mouth.
Amen.
I love you, my gang, but I'm just telling you point blank. We too mouthy.
Amen.
Have you noticed how it takes two to take a fight? Do you notice how my family, somebody's got to have the last word? Do you notice my family, how that last word usually comes within 10 or 15 minutes? It ain't within 2 seconds. It's within 10 or 15 minutes. And then my Heavenly Father looks down at us and He sees us spitting, spanning, fighting and carrying on. And He says, I wish my kids would just shut up because it's just going to increase into more ungodliness. Pretty soon, you know, that little old disagreement becomes a full-fledged war. Then pretty soon you say something you would to God you'd have never said, but it's out and it ain't coming back. And once it gets out and once it hits them, you listen to me right now. Some of you in here has got a real problem. Because somebody has said something to you in the past, some whatever it might have been. Might have been when you were a little younger, it might have been when you were a teenager, might have been when you first married, might have been in your older years, it don't matter in their mind. But they said something. And all that has to happen is their name mentioned. And all of a sudden you remember what they said and how they said it. And God Almighty said, if you don't forgive, I won't forgive you. And you don't have a forgiving spirit because you've let vain, profane, and ungodly babblings control your life. You can remember what your dad said in one of his fits of anger. Well, he shouldn't have said it. No, he shouldn't have said it. But he did say it. And as a child of God, your job is to forgive it. Notice he's still doing his act and you're suffering because you won't forgive him of it.
That's good. Amen.
He ain't a bit hurt about what he said to you 30 years ago. He don't even remember what he said to you 30 years ago. But every time you think about him or see him, you remember what he said to me 30 years ago. And you're the one suffering.
That's right.
Well, let me ask you this then, love. Let me ask you this. If you're suffering because of what he said 30 years ago, is there anybody suffering because of what you said 30 years ago? Or last week? See, it just increases into more ungodliness. Timothy? Yes, Paul? Now, boy, he's been getting some good instruction, ain't he? And then Paul hits us with a warning. Shun profane and vain babblings. For they will only increase into more ungodliness. Timothy in the ministry, son. Remember the eighth verse of that first chapter? Timothy in the ministry, you're going to have suffering. You're going to have afflictions in the gospel. You need to learn how to live through. Not shun it, not run from it. Learn to live through the problems of the ministry. Learn to live through the problems of life. Don't run away and quit just because there's a hard day. You gotta learn how to live through hard days and tough days and afflictions, and people are gonna run their mouth and they're gonna stab you in the back and they're gonna hate your guts, and it's just gonna be, some days it's just gonna be misery by the mile. You've gotta learn how to deal with it, son. So you've been instructed, has it not? Since Sunday morning, being instructed us. Don't listen. Where's it at? There it is. Don't be ashamed, alright? Be unashamed. Be strong. Hold fast. Study last night's message. Study what you believe. He said, what are you saying? I said, what great instructions Paul's been given.
Amen.
But we must also go to the negative side.
Yeah, right.
Son, that's all them over there, and you need to do this over here. Now you need to do something. You need to shun something. You need to correct it. You need to fix it, boy. Look at me, please, if you will, in 17. Same book. Boy, this problems is something, ain't it? Proverbs 17, 27, 28. He that hath knowledge spareth his words. We're living in a land of experts. We're living in a land of geniuses. Listen, no matter the situation, no matter what you're doing, no matter what thing you're getting into, my dear family, if you want to get a bunch of junk going on, just get 6 or 7 people there who everyone knows how to do it. Everybody's got, if you do it this way, it'll work. 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 And all that empty, worthless jittery, see, ain't going to amount to nothing. But look what Oni says. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is kind of wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. You say, preacher, what are you telling me? I'm not telling you nothing. I'm just telling you. I'm just reading. He that shutteth his lips. Love, just because you know how don't mean you got to tell it. Yeah, but Brother Don, that's my field. That's my expertise. That's what I've studied all my life. That's the area that I know. So, did they ask you your opinion? Well, no, but I'm the one that knows, and I ought to tell them. No, just shut your mouth. Yeah, but do you know how long they're going to suffer through this not knowing what to do? It don't matter how long they suffer through it not knowing what to do. It don't hurt you. Come on, stay with me. They don't hurt you. The Bible says, he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Even a fool, if he don't talk, is kind of wise. You know, that's a smart man right there. What's he know? He don't know nothing. He just ain't saying it. Amen. Huh? He adding his 2 cents. You ever get the guy's got to add 2 cents? Did you ever end up with a quarter? Everybody in the neighborhood's got his 2 cents. This is how you raise kids. Really? Proverbs 23? Ephesians 5? This is how you hold a marriage together. Where'd you get that at? Well, I got it out of this book. Some guy wrote this book about how to hold your marriage together. Well, I got a book too. Ephesians 5 tells me about mine. But they won't listen to godly stuff. Why? They're irreverent to the things of God. So, you've got to have discernment. I'm closing up. You've got to have discernment. You've got to be able to know who you're talking to and what's going on. You've got to be able to discern, are they even listening to me? Come on, parents. You ever do that with your kids? Huh? Brother Jeff, do you ever tell linebacker something and you know he heard a word you said? Come on now, huh? Boy, all the kids y'all got, my soul, the 49,000 Fenton youngins, amen. Did you ever talk to all them youngins? He ain't even listening to me. That kid ain't even hearing a word I say. I'm looking right dead in the eye. Yes, sir. Yeah, sure. He had no clue what you're saying. Well, that's the way it is with us sometimes. We go through life, my dear family, and because we don't know the answer, we just, good Baptist folk, we just make up an answer. Do you ever have a made-up answer get you in trouble later on down the road? Huh? This is guilty sign. This is the guilty sign. Okay? Timothy, yeah, Paul, I'm going to give you one more shot, okay? Okay. Where's it at? 1 Timothy 6. I'm going to give you one more dose of advice. I want you to shun profane and vain babblings, for they'll increase in the more ungodliness. I'm going to give you one more bit of advice, son. Go to 1 Timothy 6, and I'm going to give it to you. And so as Paul writes these letters to his son Timothy, his beloved son of the faith, Timothy, this is what he says in the 6th book 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their masters worthy of all honor. Stay with me. That the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. Pay close attention. Remember now. Remember, profane means irreverent to the sacred things of God. All right, let me read that first verse again. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. They that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. Now, Paul is telling Timothy what to do here. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness.
I'm talking about discernment now. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strives of words, whereof cometh envy. They will increase into more ungodliness, son. Whereof cometh envy. Look at it now. Questions and strife of words. Cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds. Do you see the ungodliness increasing? Destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. Now watch this. He said, shun profane and vain babblings. Remember? Verse 16. 2 Timothy 2:16. Listen to what he said again. Shun profane, vain babblings. Is he saying shun them?
No.
Or shun what they're saying? But shun profane and vain babblings, for they, the babblings, will increase unto more ungodliness. Did our Savior tell us to witness to every creature? Sometimes corrective witness is necessary. When they're being irreverent, when they're being profane, when they're being ungodly. You say, preacher, I've tried that and they just cuss more. It's like dealing with a drunk.
Yeah.
You can't witness to a drunk while he's drunk.
Right.
So you mark that man with your discernment. You say, I'm going to come back when he's in a better mood. Come on, stay with me. I'm going to talk to him about Jesus Christ when he is not angry, when he is not upset, when he is not fussing, when he's not carrying on. They're deaf when they're that way. They're deaf. When they're railing and rolling and going crazy. They don't hear nothing you say when they're that way because their heart's shut.
Amen.
But if you go back in a week or so when they've calmed down.
Come on,
you getting it?
Yeah.
Preacher, I knocked on this door. Boy, that guy just cussed me up one side down there. I mean, sailors and truckers were running. That's not the time to witness to him.
Yeah.
Go back in a week or so. Pray before you do. Pray from the time he throwed you off to the time he's given. Pray. Say, Lord, open his heart. Calm his spirit. Help him hear me, God, when I go back. See, you can shun the babbling without shunning the person.
Amen.
Let me read a little further. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. See what it says? Get away from them. But not permanently. Just for a while. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Close your Bible. Look at me. We're done. 8:15. Time to go. How many of us have gotten caught recently in conversations that didn't stop when they were supposed to stop? That's right. How did it turn out? That's what he's trying to teach Timothy tonight. That's what the Holy One's trying to teach us tonight. They will start. They will happen, Brother Paul. You'll get hooked into a conversation. Somebody will get in conversation. They'll ask you something about it. And they'll pull you right in that conversation. But you've got to be aware. You've got to watch. You've got to discern.
That's good. Amen.
Wait a minute. These two ain't talking about God. No. No, I am not getting in the middle of this. And just excuse yourself and get away from them. Then later on, go see them individually. See, family, everybody in this room is guilty of being caught up in this junk. I'm guilty of it. My soul, I hate it. I've been caught up at the dinner table in the fellowship of Baptist preachers while they butchered another Baptist preacher. We caught a bunch of them in our home church in the office one time, absolutely destroying one of the men. We got out in the auditorium at the camp meeting, and the big mouth son said, "Brother Don, can I sit beside of you?" I said, "Sure." So we sit down in front of church, and he was getting ready for the service, and he said, "Boy," he said, "this is a great meeting, ain't it?" I said, "It sure is, son." I said, "Can I ask you a favor?" He said, "Sure, what?" I said, "Can I be the last one you ever shoot?" He went, "What?" I said, "Well," I said, "I heard you's in the office butchering brother so-and-so. And I thought maybe if I'm the last one you ever shoot, you'll leave everybody else alone after you get done butchering me. Can I be the last one you ever shoot?" He said, "I think I need to go over and sit down with my daddy." I said, "I think you do. That'd be fine." See, my dear family, we've got to be harmless as doves, but wise as heads bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Richard, come play for me something soft. Preacher, what are you doing? I'm just waiting on the Holy Ghost to tell you what you need to do. Preacher, I get caught up in these conversations. Shun them. Come on. Preacher, I've been caught up recently. Come ask God to help you. Come on. Come on, church. It ain't hard to get hooked up in a gossip session. But you've got to learn how to get rid of it. Get out of it. Go back after the people with God. Because if you don't shush up, if you don't close your mouth, if you don't quit talking, the conversation will increase into more ungodliness. And by, you'll find yourself as guilty and vile as they are. And that's not your place, child of God. That's not your place. Be as kind and as courteous as you can be. But get away from what they're talking about. Preacher, I'm guilty of running my mouth. Not just listening. Preacher, I'm guilty of running my mouth. Preacher, I've been yapping. There's an altar here for you. There's a place right here where you can come and say, "God, teach me to keep my mouth shut. Help me, my Lord, discern the deal and not join in with that crowd." Timothy?
Yeah, Paul?
Shun them profane and vain babblings, son. Shun that stuff. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they try to lure you away, don't go with them. But go back later on and witness to them. Talk to them about Jesus. Today's modernized media has made it easier to do it. We don't even have to look at them to do it now. We don't even have to be in their presence to do it now. Be careful, church.